You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Welcome aboard, 304. It is a Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. It is a Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Welcome aboard. Great to have you with us here on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Great show coming up for you. Cal Eldred will join us, and we will talk World Series baseball with you. The Dodgers on the brink of taking home the World Championship. They have a 3-0 lead over the New York Yankees, and we'll try for the sweep coming up tonight. As you just heard in our promo preceding the entrance to our program, we will join game number 4 tonight at 8 o'clock, right after the Cyclone Coaches Show coming up this evening. Again, that will be at 8 o'clock. So won't miss much, maybe 2 innings, 3 innings, and then you will get back to baseball after we check in with the Iowa State Cyclones. So that'll be coming up tonight right here on 1600 ESPN. Cal Eldred will join us, talk all about that, give his thoughts on how the World Series has progressed so far. Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell meeting the media today. Iowa getting ready for Wisconsin, and the Cyclones getting ready for Texas Tech on Saturday afternoon. Iowa a night game when they take on the Wisconsin Badgers. And that will be at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. 319-366-1600. That is the text line always available to you. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line right now. That's 319-366-1600. 8683 calling the Dodgers sweep tonight and even giving a score 2-0. We'll see how it plays out. Mark, good afternoon. How are you?
No, I'm good, Scott. Good afternoon to you guys and everyone out there. And quite warmish out there today, but I guess hang around a day or two and it'll be different.
It's a 4-club wind, man.
It is.
If you're and driving by a couple of the golf courses on the earlier today and on the way in, there are a lot of people taking advantage. Usually by this time, Mark, when we're thinking about the 1st of November, a couple days away, courses, at least maybe one is closed in the city, but man, everything is going great right now. Get out and enjoy it while you can is my best advice.
And employ the leaf rule.
Yes, leaf rule must be employed. There are different variances of the leaf rule. We'll get to more golf coming up a little bit later on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. Isaac, how are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. Can't complain. Got a good show lined up for you today. I will say this, though. We start off with sad news. Heard this on the way over. One of my favorite actresses of all time passing away today. If you've not heard, at the age of 79, we lost Terry Garr this afternoon to multiple sclerosis. Best known probably for Young Frankenstein, Mr. Mom, Tootsie, Dumb and Dumber, did comedy, did drama. Just a terrific, terrific actress. And she passes away earlier today. That's sad news, Mark. That hits close to home when you see Mr. Mom every once in a while on the cable.
Yeah, she was really talented and funny and somewhat of a heartthrob for some. And 79, that's a good, pretty good long life. And she's a very accomplished actress. There's no question about it.
Was terrific in Young Frankenstein, too. Was amazing in that great, great movie. So, yeah, we say goodbye to Terry Garr today. 319-366-1600. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media in Iowa City earlier today. And as you can imagine, the first several questions dealing with the quarterback position and then kind of ending with the quarterback position. We'll get more on that coming up in just a little bit, but two different sides of the same coin, if you will. The announcement made today, this is an Iowa team and all football teams at this time of the year facing this problem as well, Mark. It's not an Iowa problem. They've actually been pretty blessed this year as far as injuries are concerned, but this is probably the most beat up that the Iowa football team has been going into a game so far in 2024.
Yeah, the first half of the season seemed like Iowa was living a charmed life in terms of injuries and whatnot, and now it seems like they're stacking up, and maybe that's true every season for many teams, and it probably is. But the main focus today, as you said, was the quarterback. Cade McNamara will not play this week. He has a concussion related to the hit he took in the first quarter, I believe, the unsportsmanlike conduct call that came against Northwestern on an interception. McNamara came back in the game, and Kirk Ferentz said he wasn't sure when the concussion was diagnosed, but it was clear that he couldn't return at halftime. Enter Brendan Sullivan. And, you know, it is what it is this week. It would have been an entirely different discussion had McNamara not been hurt. And the questions came, who's going to be your starting quarterback and whatnot. But McNamara not available. Sullivan in, and that's where we're at today.
And as you imagine, that would be subject of the first set of questions pointed toward Kirk Ferentz today. Exactly what is the situation? And Kirk felt, and I think it was very genuine, really felt for Cade McNamara, said basically in 2.5 years he's never really gotten a break. It's kind of been that way, health-wise anyway. We say health-wise. And now the latest setback right there. No, it was not asked, and I guess it should not have been asked if, and if is the key role here, key part of that sentence, that if Cade McNamara comes back, who is going to be the starting quarterback? There was no talk of that today. I think it's a situation when you are talking about a concussion, you need to see how that plays out. You cannot hurry anything back. Iowa is going to have a bye week coming up soon. Maybe after that, the question will be answered. But there was no talk today centered around if Cade McNamara comes back and Brendan Sullivan keeps playing well and leading the team to victories, that who is going to be the starting quarterback. A.K.A., is Cade McNamara going to get Wally pipped?
Well, it's going to be a discussion for a different day, and I'm actually a little upset right now. For 1345 on the text line, putting concussion in quotes. I don't know who 1345 is, but I'm here to say concussions are no laughing matter. And are you saying Kirk Ferentz is lying? Let us know. Is Kirk Ferentz lying? He said Cade McNamara has a concussion. I'm familiar with the concussions. I've had one. I know of a high school player who had one this year, had to walk around for a couple days in sunglasses, and his speech was impaired a little bit for a while. It's no laughing matter. And I'm sorry to go off on that, but that text kind of upsets me.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We did find out more about the quarterback issue today. Well, the quarterback situation today. Marco Lines is going to be the backup quarterback as far as this Saturday is concerned. And as I mentioned, there is a piece of news that we did not know. And I don't think anybody knew, really, Isaac, going into the news conference today. And that is the fact that James Reaser, The freshman coming in from Fernandina Beach, Florida, just outside Jacksonville, came in as a quarterback. He is not a quarterback anymore. We found that out today in Iowa City. Reeser is now a wide receiver. So the Iowa quarterback room is not very populated at this particular time. You've got Jackson Stratton is the, I guess, number three quarterback, and he is the transfer from Colorado State, 6'4", 193-pound sophomore. Kirk Ferentz mentioned that they do have an emergency fourth-string quarterback. Would not divulge, said he did play quarterback in high school. You can probably go through the roster and figure out who that might be. There are actually several out there that played quarterback in high school. And as Kirk mentioned, let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, it's it turns out that the acquisition of Brendan Sullivan is fortuitous right now. And him having experience on the Big Ten level, and now he's the number one. But then you have Lane Ez behind him and Jackson Stratton, who, you know, that's it for this game, those three. And James Reeser is interesting because he was a not highly sought quarterback, but schools like Indiana and others pursued him. 6'4", he was a sprinter in track, and Kirk Ferentz said he'd been switched to receiver. The problem is he's got a knee injury right now. He may not see him on the field for a year or two at wide receiver, but that was interesting. So the depth there is not great. Hopefully you don't need to use the number twos or threes. Okay, Kirk's not telling the truth about the concussion. Why would you not have Cade McNamara available? It's just a silly comment.
Reese Vanderzee is not going to be in action coming up this weekend. He is out. He was injured in the first half of the game against Northwestern on Saturday. So it's a little bit thin quarterback and tight end you can throw in there as well. That's pretty thin at this point.
Yeah, it is. Thin at a few different positions, not only quarterback, wide receiver, as you said, tight end. John Nestor, not available. Bo Stevens is back in practice, the left guard, but, you know, he hadn't played since the Washington game, so his conditioning may not be there. That's got a couple guys who have shared that position in his stead. Kirk Ferentz said we'll see how he makes it through the week. And, maybe like all teams, but this team is a little dinged up right now. And one of Kirk's favorite lines, next man in, right?
Yeah. He did give us that that's football today, by the way. I did notice that.
There was one. Yeah.
There was one. Did you notice that, Isaac, as well? There was one that's football.
I was not able to watch today.
Oh, man.
I'm sure it was another Kirk press conference.
It was fine, high entertainment. 319-366-1600. So a little bit more depth on the offensive line, not so much other places as far as the offense is concerned. Had a lot of good things to say, as always, about Coach Fickell and the Wisconsin Badgers. And should be an interesting game. Always is when Iowa and Wisconsin get together to play for the bowl and the Heartland Trophy. Iowa State, meanwhile, well, you talk about Iowa maybe not having as many healthy bodies as in the past. Well, that is not the case in Ames. It sounds as though, according to Matt Campbell, that Iowa State is going to be as healthy as they have been in a while. Coach Campbell saying that Iowa State is going to be as healthy as they have been since the start of the Arkansas State game. Ben Brommer could be back potentially this week. They were talking today. He let that be known. Also, as far as more injuries are concerned, Bacon is going to be back at some point this year, hoping it can be late November into December. Willich in the same boat. So Iowa State is getting healthier at this particular time and had a lot of very good things to say about Texas Tech and their staff, the way their quarterback plays, and also said Will McLaughlin could also be back for Iowa State. So a lot of great news coming out of Ames as far as injuries are concerned.
Possibly, yeah. There you have it. Every team has their own story. One in Iowa City, one in Ames, and one across the country. So a bit of good news, I think, for Iowa State. It's battled through some injuries this part of the, especially on defense, this early part of the season. So, and Texas Tech, you know, a two touchdown underdog, may play a couple quarterbacks. We shall see. But I think Campbell was encouraged by what he's seen on the injury front and the availability of some players. And while we're at it, I feel like I need to give 1345 his voice back on his comment about the quote-unquote concussion for McNamara. And says not laughing about it, just curious given when it came, and he continued to play. But like you guys said, again, depending on when it occurred. And appreciate that comment. We're good, 1345. But, I don't think the concussion for McNamara really surfaced. You know, his head, the back of his head hit pretty hard on that unsportsmanlike call. And then he went back in the next series and threw that interception that got returned for a touchdown. So maybe the symptoms weren't immediate. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, neither is Kirk. So, but he did go back on and then was out for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give 1345 his or her due.
Yeah. Continuing with Matt, I thought the most interesting piece out of Matt Campbell today was this. They were talking about the transfer portal. And he had a quote here. Every locker room in the country has guys thinking about the transfer portal at this time of the year. Which I thought was a very interesting thing to say on a team that is undefeated and potentially looking at, you know, their first conference championship in a whole long time. And so many things, so many carrots dangling at the end of the stick. And like I said, I thought that was a very interesting comment that Matt Campbell had today.
Yeah, I think it's accurate and not entirely surprising, because I think any player or some players who don't think they're getting the playing time that they might deserve see this portal out there, and it's very attractive. And as much as you might be invested in the team for 1, 2, 3, 4 years, you see every player, I think, wants to, you know, play more. And that's the attraction of the portal. So Campbell recognizes that, and that's a two-way street. It really is.
Says also, before we leave Ames today, the biggest chase and challenge is how we finish the season. What team do we become at the end of November? We've had a lot of firsts this year, but you're defined on how you finish. A lot of good things that Matt Campbell had to say today over in Ames for his news conference on News Conference Tuesday around. Going to talk to Cal Eldred coming up here in just a little bit. Our thoughts about that game last night before we get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update here, Mark. But the Yankees just continue to struggle and struggle and struggle more as far as hitting is concerned. And maybe we did not center on this enough, and we can talk about this with Cal, but the difference in defense between these two teams. Dodgers are just terrific, and the Yankees quite far behind, I think, as a whole, as far as the Dodgers are concerned, and it showed last night. And man, Walker Buehler continues to pitch well in the postseason this year.
Yeah, I think you have to credit the Dodgers, because at least for me going into the series, I wasn't sold on the effectiveness of the L.A. pitchers. And they've been very good and headlined by Buehler, as you mentioned. And I think it's a simple matter of the Yankees, frankly, aren't hitting. They're hitting like 185 collectively as a team in the World Series, scored 7 runs in 3 games. And the Yankees are pressing, aside from maybe Soto and Stanton. I think they're pressing. They're fishing for pitches that They're getting fooled on pitches, and they're not hitting the hittable pitches in the zone, whereas the Dodgers are.
And in true fashion in 2024, what better way to try to win a World Series than with a bullpen game? And that's what the Dodgers are going to try to do tonight, as Brent Honeywell is going to be the designated starter tonight for the Dodgers. He'll go probably one, maybe two innings, and Gill will try to keep the season alive for the Bronx Bombers. But Yankees did get two off former White Sox Michael Kopech in the ninth inning. See if that's a springboard to tonight. Prior to that, the crowd was just out of it. The Yankees looked out of it. It was just dead in the Bronx last night before that two-run home run. That kind of gave them a little bit of a lift anyway. But I don't know. We'll ask Cal how much momentum that home run last night in the ninth inning can maybe perk up the Yankees.
Yeah, aside from that, the ninth inning, I was stunned, really, how quiet that crowd was. And I think a lot of it had to do with two things. Number one, Dodgers jumped out to a lead. And number two, Buehler wasn't allowing anything. And there wasn't much to cheer about or urge the team on. But, man, that was a very quiet crowd.
Or they were watching the Jets game. Or the Giants game, I beg your pardon. And that wasn't much more exciting.
No.
Poor Danny Dimes. I think the era is coming to an end, Isaac. The Danny Dimes era.
I wouldn't necessarily say poor Danny Dimes. He did get a $160 million contract.
Well, yeah, but
I think he's feeling all right.
I don't think he's going to be a Giant much longer.
He'll cry all the way to the bank.
Very true. 319-366-1600. Let's get to an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update. It is brought to you by Emil Sideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. They got all kinds of great dishes out there. They have a huge range of burgers and fries made fresh daily. Salads, pizza, pastas, sandwiches, and soup. You can check out the entire menu online at emilshideaway.com. What do we got?
Speaking of concussions, Michigan quarterback Jack Tuttle is retiring from football after his fifth concussion. He is one of three quarterbacks that Michigan has used this year. Also in college football, Colorado's Travis Hunter became the first Big 12 player to be named Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week in the same season. He was the Offensive Player of the Week in the league this year. In the NFL, the Colts plan to bench Anthony Richardson in favor of Joe Flacco. And the Texans announced that Stephon Diggs will miss the remainder of the season with an ACL injury. And in golf, the PGA Tour Player Advisory Council is proposing a set of changes, most of which involve smaller fields, fewer tour cards, fewer Monday qualifiers, and whatnot, beginning in 2026.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I don't know how I feel about that yet, Mark. I just don't know.
Well, yeah, the first thing I thought of is how many first-time winners on tour this year and how many guys that, you know, played their way onto the tour, like the Matt McCarty, who I guess he won on the PGA Tour, right? After a great career on the Korn Ferry Tour, and maybe denying some opportunities of those guys. But I get it. Rory McIlroy said not so long ago that he is an advocate of this approach and, you know, making a more quote-unquote cutthroat type a tour when you have 144 players or 132 players instead of 156 teeing off in any given tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to do to the smaller tournaments like the John Deere Classic and the 3M up in Minneapolis. Does that mean some of the higher names are going to play at John Deere now? I don't know, because a lot, as you know, Mark, and as I know and as golf fans know, you know, it's It's not the greatest field in the history of golf that comes to the Quad Cities every year, but they are PGA members. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And, yeah, 0560, former Jeff 1978 graduate Mark Walter, one of the owners of the LA Dodgers.
And indeed.
Isaac, I got to ask you, man. I did not get to see the pregame of game one, but apparently the Dodgers rolled somebody out and had a 5-minute diatribe before the first home game. Who is Fat Joe?
Yeah, he's a musician. I don't know that much about him. I know the performance was
It was embarrassing.
Subpar.
It was embarrassing for a World Series. Yeah. I have no idea why that was done. It was.
I believe he's a Bronx native. I could be wrong on that. I believe he's from the Bronx.
I know people like it. Some people like it, and that's fine. Whatever.
I think it was pretty much universally disliked.
But it was like, okay, we're going to have the World Series. It's supposed to be, you know, this stoic thing, and then all of a sudden, I don't even know what to call that. Didn't like it.
Yeah, I honestly don't know that much about him, but I do. I think most people would agree with you.
If you're a Fat Joe fan, I apologize. I apologize. If he comes to town, you can have my ticket. 319-366-1600. We'll take a break and come back. Cal Elder joins us. We will talk about the World Series on field when we come back.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it's going to be very warm and very windy as we head into this afternoon. Temperatures will be in the low 80s and nearing records. We are going to have winds gusting as high as 45 miles per hour at times. Then tonight, more clouds build in. It'll stay breezy. Temperatures only drop into the mid-60s, and then tomorrow we'll start with the clouds. Temperatures will be in the 70s ahead of a cold front that will bring in showers and storms in the afternoon and evening, some of which could produce some heavy rain. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Nitro Circus is back with an all-new electrifying show. Our elite lineup features top athletes who will push the boundaries of what's possible with jaw-dropping stunts, high-flying tricks, and heart-pounding excitement. Experience world-class competition and unstoppable energy that will blow your mind and keep the entire family on the edge of their seats. Don't miss Nitro Circus November 3rd, live at Alliant Energy Powerhouse. Get your tickets now at creventslive.com.
Are you ready to take a sweet trip down memory lane? Come on, let's head straight to the bake sale, only at Quickstar. Craving those fresh, oven-baked cookies like Grandma used to make? The Quickery's got them. Baked with love and a touch of that old-fashioned goodness. In a rush? Grab a muffin for just $1.19. A perfect on-the-go treat. From glazers to cake donuts. Indulge at the bake sale. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself only at Quickstar.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring, Cedar Rapids Opera, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Back with you on 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports. We've got the Game 4 of the World Series coming up tonight. We will join it at 8 o'clock after the Cyclone Coaches Show, which runs from 6:30 until 8 o'clock. So won't miss too much. Certainly will not miss the celebration, if there indeed is one tonight, if the Dodgers can pull off the improbable and get the sweep tonight as they lead 3-0. And to talk about that and all things baseball and all things World Series is the former major leaguer Cal Eldred on this Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. And I'd like to apologize on behalf of you and Mark to all the Yankee fans out there because just based on the fact that we picked the Yankees to win, I feel responsible somewhat for this 3-0 hole that they sit in right now.
You're right, Scott. I want to make a personal apology to the former Mount Vernon High School baseball coach, Jeremy Elliott, who was a huge Yankee fan. he's probably not very happy with any of us. But, hey, they still can come back and win this. It's a heck of an uphill battle, but you never know.
Cal, I said that I think you have to credit the pitchers, especially Buehler, who we kind of criticized a couple weeks ago, but he's been good. And it seems like the Yankees are now in a position where they're not hitting the hittable pitches. They're fishing for the sliders and the off-speed pitches and this and that, just out of sync totally, except for maybe Soto and Stanton. Is that your take?
Yeah, I think you're still getting a few good at-bats from Gleyber Torres, but I'm going to tell you, Mark, I think you hit the nail on the head. The Yankee hitters are missing pitches when they get them. And are they still getting themselves into deep counts? In other words, getting 2-2, 3-2, 3-1, 2-1 favorable counts? Yes, they are. And then they're missing their pitch. You can see it with Judge. Obviously, you can see him pressing. You can see the pressure with him. Everybody knows, unbelievable season. Obviously the MVP, but he has struggled that. And I give John Smoltz a lot of credit too. They show his front hip opening up too soon and he can't get to that outside pitch. They've thrown him just enough pitches, the Dodgers pitchers, to give them credit inside off the plate that he's willing to chase to keep him continuing to struggle on the pitch away. But I agree. The Dodger pitchers, the starting pitching has been extremely good for the Dodgers. Flaherty 5 1/3, Yamamoto 6 1/3, one hit. Buehler 5 innings and 2 hits, looked as good as he's looked in the past. And you guys know, I'm like, man, they could have left him in longer. But they like to get to their bullpen, and hopefully they haven't used their bullpen too much for them. But the starting pitching has been excellent, and the bullpen's done a great job for the Dodgers.
Now, we'll get to the starting pitching. I know you've got some thoughts on that. We will get to that coming up in a little bit. And like I talked about 10 minutes ago, in classic 2024 fashion, the Dodgers can close this thing out tonight with none other than a bullpen game.
Part of me blames that on Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan. If you remember, it was in the 2011 World Series, I believe, they used the bullpen a lot, but they also had one game or two games where they let the starter ride. But game four is going to be a bullpen game. They have a couple guys that the Dodgers can bring, Landon Knack or Ben Kasparius, and use them, young guys, and start the game with them. Or, Brazier has good numbers against Soto. That's why they used him last night. Why not start him? So they do have some options.
Cal, you had let's get after it. You had a burr in your saddle. I think it was Saturday night when you texted both of us about, leaving the starting pitcher in. Where were you going with that?
Well, I think the thing I'm thinking about, especially in game one and two, I saw it with Flaherty. I think they thought he was getting to the end of his rope. I felt like you're taking a risk. They brought Banda in, and I know Banda. I've watched him through his career. He can lose the strike zone pretty quickly. And then Yamamoto, guys, and this is where I was losing my mind. This guy's dealing. He's giving up one hit. He's giving up one hit to one of the best hitters in the game in Soto, and that was back in the third inning. They weren't touching him. So, to me, and once again, they brought in Banda, and I'm like, why are you worrying about a lefty-lefty matchup when you've got a guy with a split finger that's as nasty as any pitch that's being thrown that night on the mound already? So those are the things that now you may not have to use Trinan for two-thirds of an inning or end up having to go to Vesia or even have to use Kopech at all. You let Yamamoto finish that seventh inning, use two guys, you're done. And then you come back to game three, you know Buehler's not going to go deep. You're going to see Kopech, Vesia, and because they used Trinan two nights in a row, they wanted to stay away from him last night. The Dodgers, in essence, I really feel like they got a little bit lucky when it comes to taking those guys out early. And plus, you look back in the World Series, and so many of these World Series, the team that has a guy that goes seven or eight innings, they win. Yeah. That's just how it is. They win that series.
Yeah, Yamamoto was good. Really, really good. And the two things that have set these two teams apart so far, pitching and defense. I mean, the Dodger defense has been impeccable. The Yankees have not. Hernandez throw last night. I don't know what piano Stanton was carrying around third base, but it helped. But what a heck of a throw by Kiki Hernandez, or I'm sorry, yeah, by Teoscar Hernandez last night.
No doubt. It was a great throw. He didn't overdo it. Came through the ball, finished his throw. It was a really good throw online. Smith did a nice job at home plate, too. Let the ball come to him and let the tag just drop down. The problem with Stanton was the fact he didn't get a good secondary lead. He did not get a good secondary lead or a good lead to begin with. And I know they kind of mentioned it last night, but that's one of those things that you show young players how important it is, especially if you're not fleet of foot. You need to take advantage of getting all the steps and inches you can get. And the defense, especially you look back at the second game in Los Angeles, throws coming into an infield, runners taking extra bases. It looked sloppy. I know Brett Boone Aaron Boone mentioned that in his post-game press conference, but that's the kind of stuff you got to clean up and just can't happen.
Cal, I want to be careful not to have recency bias, but Freddie Freeman, I want you to speak to him because I think very soon we're going to have a conversation about the Hall of Fame. And, I mean, this guy's a 300 career hitter. He's got a great fielding percentage, and now he's doing this in the postseason. Where do you stand with Freddie Freeman right now?
Oof. You know, and I think another, you know, feather in his cap that takes him a long way in the locker room is he wants to play, and he's going to play hurt. I mean, when he fouled that ball off his hurt ankle last night, I thought, and he took that second step where it looked like he was going to go to the ground, I thought, oh, no, they're going to lose this guy. And also have an Ohtani with a messed up shoulder. But he played through it as much as he possibly could. But you can see, Freddie, you cannot, you just cannot with any consistency get a pitch on the plate past him on the inside half of the plate. And it doesn't really matter what velocity. If he's looking for that fastball, he gets to it, at least fouls it off, gives him a chance to see another one. The homers that he has hit, most of them either a hanging breaking ball or heaters that stay to the inner half of the plate. And even the pitch he hit off of Nestor Cortez, that was on the corner, but you heard him say, I know that he likes to go there, I'm looking there, and he didn't miss the pitch. Great hitters don't miss pitches when they're looking for them, and that's the guy you described, Mark, in Freeman.
Nine-time All-Star, MVP, numerous gold gloves, silver slugger, was second rookie of the year in his 2011 when he was in an Atlanta Brave. 300 hitter for his career, 300, almost 350 home runs. More I look at it, and he's going to be, unless something changes, World Series MVP. You can throw that in there tonight as well. So if it indeed ends tonight, those are stats that get you into Cooperstown.
Well, and the other part of it is, let's remember, the beginning of his career is in Atlanta. They won the title there with him. And so so you have what he's done in Atlanta. Then he goes to Los Angeles, you know, you can argue, obviously, bigger market, with a lot of pressure and a huge contract, doesn't miss a beat. Keeps right on rolling. Those kind of players are unique, And those kind of players, he continues to do this for the next few years because obviously he does a lot to keep himself in shape and work hard at his craft. He could be doing this for a while, especially playing first base.
Well, and he capped off maybe one of the best World Series games with a grand slam, walk-off grand slam on Friday night. That, as I mentioned, I think that was one of the all-timers as far as World Series games are concerned.
You know, Scott, you said that, and very rarely do I get the chills when I think about home runs. Usually I get a sore neck. but I'm going to tell you, that is, you know, the Yankees had that win. They were an out away from having that win on the road at Dodger Stadium. So as much as the defensive flaws and the offense not doing quite what it normally does, the seven hits that the Yankee offense got and the pitching from Gerrit Cole was good enough for them to win that game. And Freddie Freeman turned that whole thing around. What a switch. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if we'll ever see it again. And obviously there were comparisons to Gibson's home run off of Dennis Eckersley in the World Series. But I'm telling you, what a big switch, because Gerrit Cole also, I felt, was taken out of the game too early for the Yankees, as good as he was that night.
Hit it at the same time as Kirk Gibson did at 8:37 Pacific time. How about that?
Mike, I guess, I mean, it's freakish that that's the way it is. But when they showed the bullpen and they showed Cortez and Tim Hill warming up, I thought there was no question that we were going to see Tim Hill. I've had Tim in Kansas City. Tim is – he can throw fastballs all day long because it's so funky. It comes from a crazy angle. Right-handers and left-handers do not like to hit off him. I was quite surprised when Cortez, who hadn't pitched for some time, was coming into that ballgame.
Cal, I wanted to ask you about buying a championship. Yeah, I think it was certainly true in George Steinbrenner's Yankees. And with the Yankees and Dodgers this year, they are second and third in payroll behind the Mets. The Mets aren't there. And last year we saw the Diamondbacks, number 21 or so in payroll in the major leagues, reach the World Series. So I think we've seen both ends of it. Is there too much made of you can buy a championship? It's certainly, you know, the Dodgers spent a ton of money and you know, there's some advantages in that regard, but we've seen it both ways, haven't we?
We have. I agree, Mark. We have seen it both ways. With one little PS to this, you look at what the Yankees and the Dodgers, especially this year, the number of starting pitchers that the Dodgers have had on their injured list and the guys that they don't even have. You know, you got Clayton Kershaw, Gosselin, May. These guys, even you got to count Otani, not in their rotation. Guys that they thought they would have in their rotation. Well, what can the Dodgers do? You got to give them credit because they did what they needed to do. They went out and they got Jack Flaherty. They knew Walker Buehler was a maybe towards the end of the season. They spend $300-some million on Yamamoto. So those are the things that the Dodgers can do. They can have more depth. The Yankees can have more depth. But you bring the Diamondbacks into play. You bring some of the other clubs, the Cleveland Indians, who don't have a lot of money to spend. Minnesota doesn't have a bottomless budget either. So you have to look at these teams. Things have to go right for them more often, and they have to stay healthier. But it can be done. And it's pretty special when you do see it.
I thought you were going to say the one exception was 2005, but
yeah, I will say 2005, the best team did not win that World Series.
No,
not even close. I mean, not even close. I have that discussion quite often, Scott, but I'm going to tell you, watching that team day in and day out, it was amazing. What a machine. And our starting pitcher pitching ran out, and Boston was hot. And it's, you know, I look and I see a guy that the Yankees have had to pitch in their first three games in Cousins. Yeah. And that kind of tells you, where they're at. And they're struggling. They've got a lot of work to do.
Cal Elder joining us here at 3:49 and the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. I'm going to ask you, speaking of the White Sox, Michael Kopech gave up the two-run home run to Verdugo in the ninth inning last night. Kind of, how much spark did it give the Yankees? Can they build on that to get something going in game four and try to extend this thing?
Well, you know, I look at it and I think, you know, you look at the at-bat, you look at the home run, obviously Verdugo hasn't been doing much. He comes through, gets a two-run homer. But to me, the fight that the Yankees need to have is what I saw Rizzo do in his last at-bat. I mean, he was just not going to strike out. He was going to some way, somehow try to get himself on base. That is the type of at-bat that a professional takes, that a guy that takes it to another level, Freddie Freeman, that we've talked, that Mark, you alluded to. But, you know, Rizzo did it too. The Yankees can do this. This is what they need to do. And it's not going to be easy for them to do, but they should see some light there. There's at least a crack, especially as fast as they can score runs. You ask Cleveland, it happened really fast. And they just shut things down with their bullpen after that. It is possible, but I'm going to tell you, they're going to have to come out early in this ball game today, tonight, and score some runs early and get some sort of momentum to take a little bit of the pressure off, or we could say a lot of the pressure off the Yankee hitters.
Last one from me, Cal. A story's already being written about where will Juan Soto land next year. He'll be a free agent, and my question is, who can afford him other than that team across the field?
Yeah, and that team across the field, that's, you're exactly right, Mark, that they were really smart, and so was Ohtani, in setting his contract up like they did, deferring it until I think it was 2034, most of it, and they have the money to go out and get him. They will not sign back all these starting pitchers that they have. They will not do that. Clayton Kershaw, if he wants to play again next year, he'll come back at a discounted price. So they have some things in their favor to go get Juan Soto. I don't know. Soto loves, I think, being on the East Coast. I think he loves the Yankee thing. All the Yankees and Brian Cashman need to do is sit down with this guy and say, we're going to go get more. We're going to go get more to help bring that World Series championship to the Yankees if they don't pull it off this year.
I guarantee you he won't be on the south side of Chicago. Or in Minneapolis. I'm sorry, Mark.
No,
I think that's a safe bet, Scott. You bet.
It is a safe bet. So, okay, Yankees can somehow win tonight, bring Garrett Cole back at home. I mean, you can envision this going back to L.A. They got work to do, though, as you mentioned, and history is not on their side.
No, history is not on their side, but I can see if their offense can get after the Dodger underbelly of the bullpen. I don't know how long they'll stay with that part of their pen. Whether, you know, they're going to go for it or not, but early in the game. But I think if they get a lead, they may. Then you're going to see the top arms coming out of the Dodgers bullpen pretty early. But I will say that I can see the Yankees winning this game tonight. Cole coming back tomorrow night and dealing the way he did before. Always tougher the second time, but I think he knows what he needs to do. And Rodon then's going to have to pick it up down in L.A. It gets a lot tougher once they get back to Los Angeles, for sure.
Very true. Very true indeed. All right, well, if we only have one more this year, enjoy it wholeheartedly tonight, Cal, and we'll talk one final time next week.
That sounds great, guys. Enjoy the game tonight. And if there's any more, we'll enjoy those too.
All right. Thanks, Cal. Appreciate it. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up for you right after this.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs now through December 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-777-1225. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-777-1225. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-777-1225. 800-777-1225 or biglou.com.
Back with you to wrap things up here on the Jim Class, a Tuesday edition right here on 1600 ESPN. Our thanks to Cal Eldred for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, Kevin Payne of rotowire.com will answer your fantasy football questions. Another injury of note today, wide receiver for Houston. Help me out, Isaac.
Stephon Diggs,
thank you. Why couldn't I remember that name? Top of my head. Anyway, Diggs is out for the year. Kirk's out for the year. More injuries, more questions. We'll get him ready for Kevin coming up tomorrow. His appearance courtesy of I'm On Communications. And coming up next, Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And that will include Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. So stick around for that, both from Ames and from Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media, Iowa and Wisconsin Saturday night. Matt Campbell talking about Iowa State, Texas Tech for homecoming coming up on Saturday over in Ames. And is it going to go beyond four tonight, Mark?
I think it will.
I think it is, too. But we've been wrong on everything so far with the World Series. So I'd like to take this moment to congratulate the Dodgers on their World Championship coming up tonight. More than likely, we'll see. All right, that's going to wrap things up. Spencer on Sports coming away next. Hope you enjoyed it. We're back tomorrow at 3. You've been listening to the Jim Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, Dan. Finish the set strong.
Ugh, I can't. I've really fallen off in the gym since I turned 40. I just can't.